Let's look a little bit the dimensions. A parasite, like a worm, which can affect our tissue, has a magnitude larger than 1 millimeter, 10 to the minus 3 meter. A protozoan is about 1 millimeter, 10 to the minus 3 meter. A cell like, for instance, a lymphocyte is 10 micrometer, 10 to the minus 5 meter. As I told you before, that a macrophage is twice as big as about the diameter of 15-20. A bacterium has a size, we've seen before, the cholera bacterium, 1 to 3 micrometer. A virus is much smaller. And then we have a protein which could be an antigen, is 10 to the minus 8. And an epitope, which is the portion of the protein, is about 1 nanometer. Let's stop here. We don't discuss the hapten because it's already too particular. So an epitope has the dimensions which are much, much smaller than, for instance, the protozoan of the bacterium. You see the difference, 10 to 1,000 times smaller, to give you an idea of the dimensions. So we have seen this basic structure, two chain, light chain and heavy chain, and here is the constant part of the chain, which is recognized by the macrophage and by the complement once the antigen has been attached. And we have here the antigen binding site. There are two identical binding sites. And just to remind you what N-terminal and C-terminal means, and not here. So how is a typical epitope, so the portion of the antigen, which is made by about 10 amino acids, 10-15 amino acids, is recognized by the light and the heavy chain. Let's go back. So we have the light chain and the heavy chain. And of course, these are not rectilinear here, but they are globular. And we will see this in more detail next time. But the chain is makes a lot of a three-dimensional structure which can attach the epitope, can attach the antigenetic determinant. So we have a portion, L means amino acids 94 on the chain of the light chain, and here is amino acid 35 of the heavy chain, 103, is a whole complex which makes a structure which is very specific for a certain epitope. So there is a structure attaching this epitope, there is a structure attaching this epitope, and there is a structure attaching all the other epitopes. So if the antibody has a good fit with the antigen, with the epitope, then there is a very good attachment. If the antibody has not a very good combination with the epitope, there is no attachment, or very low attachment. It's possible that an antibody is attaching another structure which is similar, but the attachment is not very good. It's absolutely specific. The immunologist like to do the comparison between the key, when you use a key to open the door, and the lock of the door itself is absolutely specific. Now, let's go a step forward to look how the system, or part of the system, works. Major histocompatibility complex. Did you ever hear this word? Okay. Each of us, me, you, and you, and you, have a different histocompatibility complex. We don't look only different, but we have in our cells a complex of proteins which characterize ourselves. This has been discovered by Zinkernagel while he was a young postdoc in Australia. He came down to Zurich, but his best work was done when he was 30 years old in Australia. He discovered the major supercomputability complex, and he got about 30 years ago the Nobel Prize for this discovery. And the major histocompatibility complex is at the base of all transplantation. If there is no affinity, if two individuals do not have a similar compatible major histocompatibility complex, they cannot be transplanted to each other. So if I need a new kidney, they have to check my histocompatibility complex with the histocompatibility complex of the donor. There must be a compatibility. And this complex is rather complex, is complicated because it's constituted by many different proteins on the surface of the cell. So it's a typical individual structure. Each of us has his own noun, of course, between relatives, mother and son, brother and sister, there is a better fit in the MHC. But generally, all the humanity can be subdivided in groups, in families, having either similar or very different MHC complex. So what happens here is that if a cell is infected by a virus, this is just one of the examples, is infected by a virus, the virus is degraded, is chopped down in fragments, and is attached to the major histocompatibility complex of the infected cell. So it makes a complex MHC, MHC peptide, which is the epitope. And the T lymphocyte of the person which has infected cells is recognizing not only the fragment of the antigen, but also the histocompatibility complex. So your MHC will not recognize my MHC, and I will not recognize you, your MHC. This is a typical individual. This can happen only in the same person. The infected cells of Joseph will be recognized by the T lymphocytes of Joseph and not of Hans or whatever. It's a really specific individual mechanism. And there is a biological reason about that, which I'm not discussing now. So the T cell, T helper, and T cytotoxins recognize not only the fragment of the antigen, I mean the epitope, but is recognizing also the MIC, MHC of the cell which has been infected. And this also in many other cases. Once this recognition has been taken place, the T cell is activated. So this is the T cell recognition of the antigen. So once I told you before that, let's go now to the B lymphocytes. The B lymphocytes are carrying on the surface the corresponding antibody. So the clone of B cells one, so they will be in our body when you don't have an infection, a few thousand, 1 to 5,000 B cells of the type 1 having the antibody on the surface one. Then there will be a clone of 1,000 to 5,000 cells of the type 2 having a different specificity than this one, and there will be N clones and so on, thousands of clones of lymphocytes with different specificity. So one is recognizing the epitope on the pathogen, and once it's activated, it starts, and this is called the clonal selection, is starting to divide. You have 2 cells, 4 cells, and so on. And the end, you have a lot, so there is an expansion of the clone. From few thousand cells, you have maybe 100,000 cells or million of cells, and this process takes a few days. That's why the adaptive immunity is very effective, but it's slow. If you have an infection, you need other mechanisms to fight the virus or the pathogen or the bacteria. But this is very specific, but it takes a few days. I think you, all of you have had once an influenza or a cold. You have the symptom of the influenza, headache and so on. But the real influenza, the fever is coming 2 or 3 days later. And that's the time required by this system to proliferate and to become active. So once the clone has been activated and there are a lot of cells, you have a portion of the clone is producing the antibody. And the cells are becoming much bigger, they increase their volume, and they're called plasma cells. And the portion of the cell do not produce antibody and go and constitute the memory pool. There will be a lot of B lymphocytes which are not producing antibody. They are stored in our body for the next infection. So this is the building up of the memory, the immunological specific memory, and this is the principle of the vaccination. Okay? So recognition, clonal expansion, production of antibodies. Of course, this, as I told you before, is not happening like that. You need the help of the T lymphocyte, the T helper, and so on. This is just a simplification of the story. So let's look at that. These are I put the color because otherwise on the picture was not possible to see. But this is a beautiful study of how a macrophage can eat up a pathogen or an antigen and destroy it. So this is a fragment, a detail of a macrophage at the electron microscope. It's a big magnification. And this is the pathogen or a portion of the pathogen. So there is a kind of recognition of the pathogen. These are real pictures. And then the surface of the macrophage is starting to make a kind of opening. In the third phase is almost completely circumvented. Here is already closed in, is entering the cytoplasm, and at this point is going to be degraded to be completely destroyed. And here is a kind of cartoon how this happens. We have the pathogen or the antigen which has been opsonized in some way, recognized, engulfed, lysosome, and is destroyed by proteins like proteases and kind of organelles which are going to destroy completely the substance. And at this point, the fragments are either released or presented to the T cells, as we will see. So the function of the macrophage is to degrade, but also to present this to the T cell in order to activate the T cell. That's a beautiful study. A beautiful study because you see, it's not only theory, you really see how it works. Inflammation. In this overview, in which I'm not going so in detail, I'm trying to give you the overview of several aspects of the immune system. So this picture is showing you is a cut of a vein. This is the interior of a vein in which lymphocytes or macrophages has been attached to the surface, the inner part of the vein. And here there is somewhere an infection. And as I told you, the complement and mediator of the inflammation, for instance, the complement, are in the tissue, are coming out, are going out, are very small, and by means of chemotaxis, a process called chemotaxis, is like the dog which smells, or the cat which smells the good food and follows the good food and arrives at the good food. And this is the chemotaxis. So all the mediators of inflammation which are released at the site of the inflammation, they go out in the blood circulation and they have a chemotactic action on the cell. And the phagocyte squeezes, you know, you really can see, I don't have the picture here, but really can squeeze and pass a pass in the interstitial into the tissue. And here then the inflammation, the infection is fought. There is a way how to get rid of the infection. So inflammation, site of inflammation, release of complement, for instance, we have seen this before, release of complement, chemotactic attachment of lymphocytes or macrophages. The macrophages are entering the site of the inflammation and they're fighting the inflammation. Another overview how the virus system is destroyed. So we have a virus. It can be recognized by the complement, as we've seen before, opsonized, recognized by antibodies, and in this way is recognized by the macrophages and destroyed. The other way, another way to destroy, to fight the infection, is the virus is infecting a cell, is red cell. The infected cell is producing interferon, as I told you before, and the cell is made resistant against infection. Or there's another alternative, the T lymphocyte, the T cytotoxic, not the T helper, is recognizing the infected cell and it's killing the infected cell. So these are different ways, it's just to give you examples how the immune system is fighting on different weapons. Has an aviation, has a cavalry, has panzer, has a lot of different ways to fight the infection. The principle of vaccination. The principle of vaccination, I have discussed this already, is to vaccinate an individual against cholera. You can be vaccinated against influenza. I don't know how many of you are vaccinated against the influenza at the beginning of the winter. It consists of the injection of a killed virus. So it's called toxoid. So this is a virus which is not active, but is still causing immune response. So it's injected. There is a recognition, but there's not an infection because this is not viable, is just killed, but it can generate antibodies, so there is an accumulation of new antibodies in our body, and once the real toxin, the real virus is entering our blood circulation, there is a much more effective, a much better response due to the memory cells, which can produce many more antibodies and fight the infection, and this is called secondary antibody response, and this is called acquired immunity, because the immunity which was not there at the beginning has been generated by vaccination, and we have a better defense once the toxin is coming in the second time. And of course, the other way is that we get an infection by the real virus and we survive the infection, but we are better, in better shape when the next infection is coming in. For instance, just the experience of myself, when in 1956, there was a very, very bad influenza, much, much worse than the one we had in the past year. And I got in 1956 this influenza. I was 2 weeks in bed with high fever. And since then, I have no influenza anymore, just a little bit, some cold, but no influenza anymore. And actually, the people who got influenza and also died in the last few years were actually younger people, not older people, because they did not have the experience of the 56 influenza, 1956. And I think the influenza I got in 1956 56 made me immune, vaccinated against all the influenzas which came later on. And this is the case of many people who had the influenza of 1956. So this is the principle of vaccination. Unfortunately, as I told you before, the immune system is not only necessary for our survival, but sometimes the immune system is running crazy, and we have an innocuous antigen, like, for instance, pollen, in the springtime, now in a few weeks. The trees and the plants are producing pollens, and the pollen enter through our respiration, and we have a lot of problem allergic problem, or we have the problem of the a cat. I have a cat, and each time I met a cat, I had a problem with asthma. But with the time, I have a cat now, say 10 years, I became tolerant. So it's also possible that your immune system becomes tolerant to an antigen. And now I don't have any problem with the cat anymore. And that's also if you have an allergy, you can be desensitized against the allergen. Just if you go to the doctor, he gives you small doses of the so-called allergen, which is nothing else than an antigen, and you get tolerant to the allergen, and you don't have allergy anymore. So I became tolerant to my cat, unfortunately. Then you have a problem with immunodeficiency. I told you before the case of this child without the proper immune system and survived 5 years. And you have also the autoimmunity problem. At a certain point, our immune system is recognizing our component of our body. Seems that diabetes could be also an autoimmune system, an autoimmune problem. And that causes a very, very serious problem, because suddenly our immune system is recognizing our own body as not our own body, as something which is coming from the outside, not self. I think for today, I close here because I wanted to give you a whole overview of the immune system. Next time we will discuss a little bit the antibodies, and then we'll go into the real problem of the space flight and the immune space flight.